You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
One of Jesus' most memorable methods of teaching was through parables. But did you know long before Jesus arrived in Bethlehem, the prophet Ezekiel also used parables to teach God's people? Welcome to Through the Bible. Dr. J. Vernon McGee shares two of those parables with us as the Bible bus rolls through Ezekiel chapters 23 and 24. We're learning about how timeless God's Word is in our five-year journey through this amazing book. As Dr. McGee often points out, the Old Testament words of Ezekiel are just as relevant to our lives as those of the gospel writers. A listener named Sandy in Fort Wayne, Indiana, agrees. Here's what she recently wrote to us in an email. "Tomorrow's my birthday, and I turn 68, which seems quite surreal," Sandy says. "I've been married for over 40 years now, and nearly as long as I can remember, my husband and I, and then our children, have been passengers on the Bible bus. It is hard to estimate how many complete trips we've made, but it never gets old due to the wonderful old fella who is our beloved tour guide. Each message is truly timeless, and it never fails to speak to us in relevant and needful ways as the Holy Spirit gives new insights. We love Through the Bible. As a birthday present to myself, I am finally writing the letter I have wanted to write all these years, just to tell all of you what a precious blessing you have been to our lives. Merely to say thank you seems inadequate. We do pray for you, for new opportunities for the Bible bus in uncharted territory, and for blessings to all of you faithful servants of the King who work tirelessly to reach the world for the cause of Christ. It is our joy to listen in. Every day we ride the Bible bus, we get closer to our destination. Please continue your great work, and God be with you all." Sandy, thank you so much. What a terrific gift to us on your birthday. Happy birthday to you as well. And Richard in San Diego said the same thing, but in a different way. "I've been riding on the Bible bus since 1985. A friend asked me if I knew who Dr. McGee was. At that time, I did not, so I found you on a radio and started listening. I didn't listen every day, but every chance I had. I now listen online every morning as part of my daily Bible study. Over the years, God has grown my spirit, and Dr. McGee's messages take on new meaning. God has revealed His Word to me because of my study with you, and I am thankful. I enjoy hearing from you every day, and I thank God for Dr. McGee and Through the Bible. I'm looking forward to meeting Dr. McGee when I get to heaven." Well, thanks so much, Richard. And what's your story? Are you new to the Bible bus, or maybe you've been riding for many years like Sandy and Richard? What's God teaching you as we study His Word together? You know we'd love to hear from you. You can email us, BibleBus@ttb.org, super easy email address. You can also write a note to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. Or if it's easier, you can call and leave a message at 1-800-65-BIBLE anytime. Let's pray for and with one another now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your timeless word. As we travel through the pages of Ezekiel, help us to clearly hear your messages for our lives. Open our hearts so that we might see you in your word. We come now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's dive into our study of Ezekiel 23 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we've come here today to chapter 23, and I hope you have your Bible and have found the place there. Now, this section that we are in here, it began back at chapter 21. It has been a very remarkable section because these are the last prophecies concerning the judgment that was coming upon the nation Israel. Now, Ezekiel's messages at the beginning were to the first two delegations that had gone into captivity because they held on to the belief that God would never destroy the temple. It was His sanctuary. His glory had been there, and they knew that, and they held on to that, and the false prophets encouraged them in this unbelief and made them think it was not necessary for these people to come back to God, to give up idolatry, and to give up their evil ways. And they went on, the false prophets, encouraging them in that. I think today one of the most subtle things that takes place is the fact that a great many men are eulogized even before they die, and then at their funeral, and they may have been godless, blasphemers, but some preacher pushes them right into heaven. May I say to you, without having God's mind on the matter, I think we should be very careful what we say about these folk, because the false prophets were doing the same thing in that day, and how tragic it was. And it gives the unsaved who come to a funeral today or hear a message the idea that their little goodness, and they measure it by some person's life that they know, and he's a great sinner, they don't think they need a Savior. My friends, the fact of the matter is that I'm afraid that today sometimes a gospel message is given in one place for the saints, and that it's not given in the place where it ought to be given, when the man is out in the world, especially at a funeral or speaking to a group of unsaved. He trims his message to please the crowd. Now, this man Ezekiel has really been putting it on the line. I think I should say two things that we've already seen that are remarkable prophecies. You'll recall that in chapter 20, he gave a prophecy concerning the Negev. That is the southern part of that land around Beersheba, all of that territory. And it was a prophecy that said, "And say to the forest of the Negev, I'll kindle a fire in thee." Well, I've been through that area a couple of times, and I want to tell you, that's as bald-headed as a doorknob. There's no vegetation there of any size whatsoever. I never saw a tree that was any bigger than my arm in the entire place. And talk about a forest, they just not down in that section at all. What happened to it? God judged. And you can take a look there today that he did a pretty good job of judging. Then we've seen over here in chapter 21 that remarkable prophecy about the fact that there'll be no one to sit on David's throne until the Lord Jesus comes. That's what the angel meant when he said to Mary, "I'm going to give unto him the throne of his father David." You see, even at Christmas time, it's nice to have Ezekiel around to find out what even the angel was talking about. We need the background of these prophets that I think is so needful today. And then in chapter 22 last time, we saw the Lord calling Jerusalem a bloody city. Well, check its history, and you'll find out that the Lord is accurate. And yet that was his city, the city that he loved, because God said that his eye was constantly upon it. And because his love, he judged the city. Now in chapter 23, we have something here that's quite interesting. Here goes Ezekiel again, way out on a limb, right to the left, if you please. He's way out in left field here. The parable of two sisters. Now that's something. And of all things, one was named Oholah, and the other was Oholiab. And I think that when he gave this parable, but people actually began to smile. They said, "Where in the world is this fellow going with a story like that?" Well, he's going to give them the parable now, chapter 23. And here we go again, friends. "The word of the Lord came again unto me." Now, this man, Ezekiel, just didn't make this up. God gave him this message. He says, "Son of man, there were two women, the daughters of one mother, and they committed harlotries in Egypt. They committed harlotries in their youth. There were their breasts pressed. There they bruised the breasts of their virginity." They no longer virgins, but they became harlots. What in the world is he talking about? Listen to him. "And the names of them were Oholah the elder and Oholibah her sister, and they were mine, and they bore sons and daughters. These were their names." Now, what's he talking about? Samaria is Oholah. That is, the northern kingdom of Israel is Oholah, and Jerusalem, Judah in the south, is Oholiab. Now, what in the world is he talking about? Well, we have to first get the meaning of their names. The meaning of Oholiab, that is, of Judah and Jerusalem in the south, is my tent. is in her. And who's saying that? God's saying that. God's saying, my tent is in her. That is, it was in Jerusalem, in the southern kingdom, that there was there this wonderful temple of Solomon, patterned after the tabernacle in the wilderness. And that was where the people approached God. Wonderful. But what does Aholah mean? Well, that means her own tent. The northern kingdom rebelled, and you remember old Jeroboam put up two golden calves, one in Bethel, the other up in Samaria, and tried to keep the people from coming south. Now, it's very easy for the southern kingdom and the prophets there to say, oh, God's going to judge these golden calves up, and he surely did. But what about the southern kingdom? He's going to judge it too, because they, going through the ritual of a dead religion, thought that they were right with God and they were living in sin. And today, one of the things that is cutting the nerve of the spiritual life, even of fundamental Christians and fundamental churches, is the lives of some of the members. Oh, my friend, somebody says, well, I'm saved by grace. You sure are, and that's the only way you'll ever get saved. It's the only way I'll ever get saved. I know that. God's not saving by grace, then I couldn't possibly be saved. But that doesn't mean you're not to live for him. And that doesn't mean he's not going to judge you. And that doesn't mean that you can actually kill the spiritual life of a church. These are two girls that you ought to get acquainted with. Oholah and Aholiab. Aholabab. What names of all things? And this man, I think, attracted a little attention by that. You know, I think of that whimsical story that comes out of my Southland. A poor tenant farmer, we call them sharecroppers down there, and croppers is the name given to them. He had one of these little donkeys, burros, some folk call them, and had him hitched up to a wagon in which one line was leather and the other was a cotton rope. And a friend wanted to ride with him one day, and he told him, fine, get in, I'll take you to town. And so the fellow sat down in a spring wagon, and then he got out, the owner, and took a 2x4 out of his wagon, went up there in front, and hit this mule on the head. And this man was thunderstruck. He couldn't believe. Well, he says, why in the world do you do that? He says, well, I always have to get his attention before I start. And why is Ezekiel doing this? Because he's dealing with a lot of hard-headed people. God said that. And he does this to get their attention. We sometimes criticize some preachers for using sensational messages or sensational subjects. And I always have great sympathy for them. How else are you going to get people to listen today? Because they don't want to hear the same message again and again. They'll sing, tell me the old, old story, but they don't want to hear it. Maybe they want you to sing it to them. I don't know, but they don't want to hear it. So that this man is using unusual methods. Now, the Assyrians, they've already taken the northern kingdom. Verse 12, she doted upon the Assyrians, her neighbors, captains and rulers, clothed most gorgeously, horsemen riding upon horses, all of them desirable young men. Now, this, by the way, is quite unusual in this 23rd chapter. Refers back, actually, to a historical event that took place when old King Ahaz was on the throne. If you'd go back and read 2 Kings 16, 10 through 20, you'd pick up this incident, that he went up to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and he saw an altar that was at Damascus. And he thought that was the prettiest altar he'd ever seen. So he sent Urijah the priest to get a picture of it, the pattern of it, and to make one like it. You see, he went in for this type of thing, of attempting to improve the worship, you know, as if that had something to do with the souls of men. Well, God noted that, and he's judged that northern kingdom for it. Now we have here the Babylonian invasion that's now going to take place, and there's no alternative for it. And you find that he's judging both the northern and the southern kingdom because both had turned away from the living and true God. One went brazenly into idolatry, and the other pretended to worship the living and true God. And friends, it might be well today for God's people, all of us for that matter. Paul said, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith or not. Somebody says, don't you believe in the security of the believer? I sure do, but I believe in the insecurity of make-believers. And we need to examine ourselves. When you go to church, do you really worship God? What does the Lord Jesus mean to you? Oh, to be drawn to the person of Christ and to love Him and to serve Him. How close are you to Him? Do you really love Him? He doesn't want your service unless you do. He said to Simon Peter, you love me? And until he could say it, he says, now you can go feed the sheep. I'll use you. That's the most important thing of all. Now here in the 24th chapter, we come to it, and we have here another parable, and he's going to end these parables, that is a section of them, right here for us. And in this section, why, we have the parable of the boiling pot and the death of the prophet's wife. And God's going to use both to speak to the people. Now, will you notice, I'm reading chapter 24, verse 1. Again, in the ninth year, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. Now, this is the first time he's dated his message. Why? Because at that very moment, Nebuchadnezzar was breaking through the wall in Jerusalem, and they didn't have television there. It wasn't coming by a little fellow out there in orbit conveying the message over to Babylon. The only way he could get it was by God revealing it to him. The liberal has always had a problem with this. One of the liberals said this. He says, this verse forces on us in the clearest fashion the dilemma. Either Ezekiel was a deliberate deceiver or he was possessed of some kind of second sight. He sure was. God's sight was his second sight. Liberal doesn't recognize that, of course. Well, he got the word, and now this parable of the boiling pot. Well, here it is, verse 6. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord, woe to the bloody city, to the pot whose scum is in it, and whose scum is not gone out of it. Bring it out piece by piece. Let no lot fall upon it. Now, he calls it again the bloody city, and they're in a pot, and there's scum in the pot. Now, what is that scum? The pot is the city of Jerusalem. The citizens were in it, in that pot. And their sin is the scum that's in it. Now, sometimes you hear somebody say to another person or concerning a certain people, they are the scum of the earth. You want to know what God says? God says, your sin and my sin's the scum of the earth. He never said that group of people over there that's not in our crowd is the scum of the earth. He said, your sin and my sin. And listen, we are all in the same pot. Jerusalem is now the world. And for you and me today, it's the world. I get a little weary today of all of this talk about the different ethnic groups. What do you mean, different ethnic groups? We're all in the same pot, and we're the scum of the earth. And I don't care who you are, your sin is the scum of the earth. Now, I don't know how you can say it any stronger than that. Now, verse 15, also the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shalt thy tears run down. Now, apparently this young prophet had married, I think, a lovely, beautiful young Israelitish girl. And they loved each other. And then down there in captivity, she took sick and died. Now, I imagine it was a heartbreak. But this man's still acting, God says, even in the time of death. What is he to do? He says to him, forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead, bind thy turban upon thee, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of man. Don't act like you're mourning at all. And the people didn't understand it. The people came to him, they said unto him, what in the world does this mean? You talk about a boiling pot with scum on it. Now your wife has died and you're not even mourning. What kind of man are you? And all of this he's doing to get a message through to them. Why? Verse 24, it's the key to the book. Thus Ezekiel is unto you a sign. According to all that he hath done shall ye do. And when this cometh, ye shall know that I am the Lord God. That moment Jerusalem was being destroyed, and word came to them later on concerning the fact that the city was being destroyed. Over in the 33rd chapter, verse 21, and it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, in the 5th day of the month, that one that had escaped out of Jerusalem came unto me, saying, the city is smitten. Into this camp there came these stragglers. Oh, how terrible they looked. And they said, we've escaped from the city. The false prophets are wrong. It's burnt up. That temple is leveled. The city is debris and ashes. And the interesting thing, Ezekiel is right. And don't mourn. Why? Why not mourn for it? Well, the reason that you're not to mourn is this. Verse 27, in that day shall thy mouth be open to him who is escaped, and thou shalt speak and be no more dumb, and thou shalt be a sign unto them that they shall know that I am the Lord. Now, what is the message here? The message is just simply this. The false prophets were right in this. That's God's house. That's God's city. That was God's witness to the world. But you see, they had failed. And when they fail, God says now, I will even destroy my own witness on the earth. This is, I think, without doubt, one of the most remarkable prophecies that you have in the Word of God. And actually here, it's a strange position that we find here. God is saying, I want you to know that the city's destroyed. Your people, the rest of them, sons and daughters that are left, they're being brought into captivity. And there's no use weeping. And no use howling to me now. I did it. I'm responsible for it. And you remember what the Lord Jesus said to each one of the seven churches, and he's saying it to the churches today, to those of us that are believers. He says, you better be careful. I'll come and remove your lampstand. And the lampstand of all seven of those churches, it was removed. Ought to be a message to us. And I don't care who you are, where you are, friend, if you're not going to give out the Word of God, he's already said it. If you're not going to stand for God today and you make a profession of it, he's removing your lampstand and be no light there. What a statement. Somebody says, my, this is strong. This doesn't sound like the lovey-dovey sloppy stuff that we've been hearing. No, this is Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, he's just speaking for God. He says, the word of the Lord came unto me. Now, friends, if you have any opposition to what we've been saying, I've been saying what's here, I would suggest you take it up with the Lord. Don't take it up with me. He said it. I didn't say it. And remember, he's always right, and we're always wrong. Remember that when you go to him in prayer. May God richly bless you, my beloved.
Although we still have much to learn from Ezekiel, in a little over 2 weeks, we're going to start a new study in the New Testament book of Titus. Now, I mention this so that you have time to download your notes and outlines before we begin. They're really a great resource. You can download one book at a time or get them all in one volume called Briefing the Bible. That's what I do. It contains Dr. McGee's notes and outlines for our entire 5-year journey through the Bible. Just visit the resources section of ttb.org and download it today. Or to receive an abridged paperback copy by mail, you can order yours at ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE. And if you'd like to spend a little more time in Ezekiel or share these messages with a family member or a friend, get our Through the Bible app or visit ttb.org. Or if you'd prefer to have Dr. McGee's entire 5-year series available at your fingertips, consider getting our Bible Bus flash drive. It's got the whole Bible Bus on a small flash drive. You plug it into your computer and you'll have it all. To find out more about this terrific tool and order yours, give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE or shop our online store over at ttb.org anytime. And while you're visiting, be sure also to check out our ministry newsletter. Each issue has a bunch of great teaching by Dr. McGee, as well as terrific ideas on how to apply all that you're learning from God's Word, and then updates from the field on our global ministry. Again, you can download your free copy at ttb.org or receive it by email or post when you sign up online or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Our journey on the Bible bus through Ezekiel continues in chapter 25. I'm Steve Schwetz, and as always, I'm going to be right here, saving a seat just for you.
Jesus made it home, all to be my home. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as
Today's study is always available, free to stream or download, thanks to the generous and faithful investments from your fellow Bible bus travelers. Just go to ttb.org or download our app to listen again anytime. As always, we'd love to know what's God teaching you.
Hi, fishing enthusiasts. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Well, look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows, ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Well, greetings in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to all our faith partners and radio listeners. We are the church and the city with the city in our hearts. I am Minister Gloria Ross of Manu Life Assembly of God in Melbourne, Florida. The church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our church services are every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. sharp. Come and be blessed of the Lord. Now here is Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord. Isn't it a wonderful day to be in the land of the living, to give the Lord Jesus Christ all of the honor and praise? He woke you up this morning, allowed you to see this wonderful day. And we say this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall all rejoice and be glad in it. And we ask the Lord this morning, what would you have me to do today? Not my will, but your will. We ask that it be done. And we thank him so much for everything in Jesus' mighty name. Well, today we want to look at Romans, the sixth chapter, and we want to go line upon line, precept upon precept. Praise God. We want to just see what Apostle Paul, what he was telling the church of Rome. Now, I want to say something here this morning that the grace of God, we all know that Apostle Paul is, was, and will continue to be, through his epistles, the apostle of grace. And grace is very powerful. And the subject we want to talk about this morning is, where sin abound, much more does grace abound. The grace of God. The unmerited favor of God toward mankind. We have no excuse. We don't deserve what we have, but because of the Lord, his grace and mercy is powerful. So Apostle Paul said here in Romans 6 and verse 1, he said, well, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I want to say something here this morning that no matter how powerful sin is, grace abound much more. And this is why when we see things that are taking place, all we can do that are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb is to say, Lord, I thank you for your grace. Because what I have, I don't deserve it. But because of your grace, you've given it to me. And when we look at others that are caught up with the clinging vines of sin, we pray for them and say, Lord, your grace, more grace, it is sufficient for us all. So Paul is saying here, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Now, you need to understand that. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, he's saying, well, sin is powerful, but it's not more powerful than the grace of God. So shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin, to the sin nature? And I want to explain that here this morning, because what is happening is that once we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our lives and he saves us, then we are dead to the sin nature. That nature that causes you to sin, we are dead to it. So, in other words, to make myself clear to you all out there in Radio Land, the sin nature has become deplugged, so to speak. In other words, it lies dormant. It has not been destroyed, but it lies dormant. It has no power over you because you are in Christ Jesus. And that's the most important thing that we all should understand. And too many of us are trying to handle this matter with their own strength and ability, which is virtually impossible. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, he defeated sin. He broke the power of the sin nature when he went to Calvary's cross. And we need to understand that by being in Christ, we have power over the sin nature. So, Minister Gloria, as we look a little further here, we see, well, the question was asked, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. How can we that are dead to that sin nature live any longer in it? Amen. You can't live in it if you're in Christ, because no sin is in Christ. He broke the power of sin on the cross of Calvary. And we have to understand that and keep in mind that that power was broken. And many people say, well, the sin nature has been destroyed. Well, I don't agree with that, that it has been destroyed. No, well, it's been, should I say, it's been like lying dormant,
yes,
has no power over you, mm-hmm, because you now have the divine nature, that nature of God. So what is happening is that, and through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us all that received him, the power of that nature has no power over us.
Amen.
But folks that are not in Christ, that nature is running rampant. So, Minister Gloria, you have something you want to say? All right. So, in the next verse there,
it says, know ye not.
Well, in other words, he's telling you, well, don't you know
that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death.
Now, look at this with clear eyes and a heart that would understand what the Word of God is saying. Apostle Paul is saying, well, don't you know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, not baptized into water, but into Jesus Christ. And many people say, oh, well, that's the baptism, you're being baptized into water. The Scripture doesn't say that. The Scripture tells us that we were baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ by his death, by what he did. And this is what took place there at the cross of Calvary. And we were buried with him by baptism into his death. That is a powerful thing that the Apostle Paul is telling the Church of Rome. Now, keep in mind that he's speaking to believers that are in Rome, and the whole idea is that every epistle that he's written was not written to sinners but to saints, folks that believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we need to take hold on today and every other day, that we are in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. We are in him, and he's in us. Praise God. And everything that he has done for us, it was accomplished there on the cross of Calvary. Because God Almighty, Jehovah, sees us all that are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. He sees us dying with Christ on Calvary's cross. And Minister Gloria, this is why Apostle Paul was saying there in Galatians 2 and verse 20, he said, for I am crucified with Christ. And this is the whole thing that we must identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we were baptized into to Christ and buried by his death, then we have to identify with what Christ did. So Apostle Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I, but it is Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, the physical man, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. So this is powerful. But what happens is that we are in Christ. We've been baptized into Jesus, Jesus Christ. And this is why the sin nature has no power over us. And I don't want to say as long as we're in Christ, because there's no in and out in Christ. Either you are in Christ or you are not in Christ. And I want to tell you this morning here that you look better being in Christ than you did out of Christ. Because when you were out of Christ, you were a sinner. But now you're in Christ and you are a saint. Praise God. So, Ms. Gloria, you want to read the next verse? So
that therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death.
See, look at the steps that are taking place. We are buried with him by baptism into death. This is so important here that we all should understand that Apostle Paul, the apostle of grace, he's showing us this is God's grace and his mercy. And what is happening is that through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this is where we are able to walk in victory, to have the peace of God operating in our lives. Now, he said that we've been buried with him by baptism unto his death. You have to reckon yourself that you have died with the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. You know, so many people, they're trying to do all these things on their own in terms of the energy of the flesh, and trying to accomplish the things that will please God. No, the only one that pleased the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, he pleased God. He's the only one that pleased God the Father. And what is happening is that when we know and identify with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can walk in victory. Mm-hmm. We can walk in the peace of God.
Amen.
We can walk in the love of God. We have everything that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished there on the cross of Calvary.
Yeah,
we're in him.
We're complete in him.
Amen. We are in him. That's why Apostle Paul was saying to the church of Colossians 2 and verse, I think it's verse 10. He says that you are complete in him.
Amen.
He didn't say you are complete because you went to church, accumulated, corralled yourself with others in some building. No, you're complete in Jesus. And this whole matter, the sum of the whole matter here is that we all are in Christ that's born again.
Amen.
So, Minister Glory, you want to finish reading that?
That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father,
yes,
even so we also should walk in the newness of life.
Praise God. Praise God. You're in Christ. You should be walking in the newness of life.
Amen.
Praise God. Because what happens is that the scriptures tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, it tells us there that therefore if any man be in Christ, somebody out there in radio land say, in Christ.
In Christ.
You are a new creation or a new creature, and old things are passed away, and behold, all of the things become new. So being in Christ, you are a new species. You are a new person. God sees you as if you've never sinned. Now that's powerful. That's very powerful, because what's happening is that you're new.
Amen.
You knew in Christ Jesus. Now, keep in mind, I'm talking about in Christ Jesus. There's some folks that are still the old creature.
Yep.
And they're trying to live according to the things of God with the old nature. No, it won't work.
Nope.
Cannot be computed, because you must be in Christ in order to walk in the victory, in order to walk in peace and joy. Now, he says here, Minister Glory, you want to read that again there? That,
therefore,
yes,
we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life.
So when he died, we died with him.
Amen.
That's the identification.
Mm-hmm.
We died with him. Mm-hmm. And when he was buried, we were buried with him.
Mm-hmm.
And when he rose again on the third day, praise God, we rose.
Amen.
In the newness of life.
Praise God.
Praise God. That's why we are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And we should walk in the newness of life.
Newness of life.
Amen. Identifying with what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done. But, you know, Minister Glory, I should have spoken earlier about how you get in Christ.
Mm.
Because you don't get in Christ because you come to some church building. There has to be a divine application that would take place. And he is the Holy Spirit.
Praise God.
That will place you into the body of Christ. Many people sitting in church, they're not saved.
Mm-hmm.
They're just inside the church, and they think that they are in Christ. Because they're in the building. Now, this is not some judgmental statement that I'm making, but you can see, because if we are in Christ, then we will conduct ourselves as being in Christ, walking in newness of life, giving glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and everything that he has done for us all on Calvary's cross. And when I say Calvary's cross, I'm talking about that's where everything
had taken place.
Amen. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And the powers of darkness was defeated there.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, shame, guilt, sorrow, grief, whatever it is, it was nailed to the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing, because when he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." So it's nothing that we have to do except walk in the Spirit of God, that then let the Spirit of God lead us in the goodness of Christ.
Praise the Lord. Well, the whole idea is that the Holy Spirit, as the Bible tells us, that he witnessed or testified of Jesus. So what happened is that he will lead you to Calvary. This is what has happened. He will lead you to Calvary so that you are able to accept, believe, and receive everything that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us all.
Amen.
Now, I know some of you out there in Radio Land, you might say, well, I don't know what he's talking about. Well, you pray and ask the Lord how the Holy Spirit will work in your life, because he points every one of us toward Calvary. Now, Minister Glory, but how to get into Christ? You can't get into Christ by coming in the building or shaking some preacher's hand or having some mental ascent, saying, well, I come to church, and therefore I'm in the body of Christ. No, no. The scripture says that we were baptized into Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, how did this baptism take place? Well, we want to look at what Apostle Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. I want you to follow me through scripture. This is what the word says. It's not my a figment of my imagination, or is this my thinking? No, the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, he tells us how we get into the body of Christ. And it's amazing how many people feel that they're in the body of Christ and all they're in is just an organization. And it's sad to say it, and I don't say this with a joyful heart, because you must be in Christ in order to be born again. I said, in Christ. In Christ is the new creature. In Christ is the victory. In Christ is everything that God Almighty wants us to have. It came to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ms. Gloria, would you read 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13?
For by one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit.
That's the Holy Spirit.
We all are baptized in one body.
Yes, that's the body of Christ.
Whether be Jews or Gentiles.
Yes.
Whether we are bond or free and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
Praise God, praise God. For by one Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Not two spirits, but by one Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been baptized into one body.
One body.
That's the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we be Jew or Gentile, bond or free, and we've all been made to drink of one Spirit.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's go back to Romans here, the sixth chapter here, because what it is that the Bible tells us, line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. And the Holy Spirit, as he teaches through the man of God, we are able to see what Apostle Paul is talking about, because this is wonderful. This is grace. We can't do anything to try to achieve any benefit. Every blessing that comes to us comes from the Father through the Son, and he gives it to us. Praise God. I said, from the Father to the Son, that's how we are blessed. We are blessed because of what Jesus has done, not because of what we are able to do. And many people today, Minister Glory, what happens is that they feel that, well, I can get all of this outside of Christ.
No.
I can put Christ on the sideline and get what I need.
It won't work.
No, it won't work. No. I remember there's a sister that was saying it, and I never forgot what she said. Now, the confession was that she was in Christ, but she said when somebody get her riled up or whatever the case, that she'll lay Jesus aside and she'll take care of the matter, and then as soon as she finished, she'll pick him back up. See, well, the scripture doesn't say that.
No.
And that's nothing but spiritual ignorance, because what happened is that the Bible tells us that once he's there, he didn't come to visit.
No.
He came to remain.
Amen.
The Bible says to abide, to Amen. Live in you. Praise Amen. God.
Praise God.
Amen. That's how he didn't come to visit us.
Mm-hmm.
No, he came to live in us.
That's right.
Praise God.
Amen.
All right, so let's look at the next verse of scripture here, because I mean that little.
Well, if we have been planted together.
Yes.
In the likeness of his death.
Mm-hmm.
We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
All right. Now, look at it. If we've been planted together, that means that the identification, there's union there with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection.
That's right.
You understand that out there in Radio Land.
Mm-hmm.
So what is happening is that his resurrection is our resurrection.
Amen.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've been planted together.
Mm-hmm.
We died with him, we were buried with him, and we rose again. Glory to God. That identification is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And when we can realize that every step of the way that we have victory is only through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, and Minister Glory, what happened is that another thing, through all of this, the blessings come to us from the Father through the Son.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how, I don't mean the S-U-N, I'm talking about the S-O-N,
Amen.
The Son of God. Because God Almighty is not going to jump over Jesus to give you a blessing. Because he was the one that was sent. And he did the will of the Father. You remember reading, we were looking at something, St. John 6 and verse 38. I think that's familiar verse of scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Yes. Well, Jesus said he came down from heaven.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
You want to read it?
For I came down from heaven.
All right. Where did he come down from?
Heaven.
All right. He came down into the natural realm. In other words, he stepped out of eternity into time, And he came to die for our sins. In other words, everybody that would believe and trust in him would receive eternal life. Because his whole purpose that he came to seek and save that which was lost. And we all were lost. We all had sinned. So what it is that we needed, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what did he say? He came down from heaven?
Not to do my own will.
No, well, that means that he was sent down here.
That's right.
He didn't come to do his own will.
But the will of him that sent me.
But the will of him that sent him. Praise God. He was sent. Somebody out there in Radio Land said he was sent.
He was sent.
That he didn't come because he wanted to come. He came because the Father sent him.
Amen.
Now, let's look at another verse of scripture here. I think it's in the fifth verse there. We want to get that before closing out. The fifth, Romans 6 in verse.
We've read that. So knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
Okay, praise God. Knowing this, this is something that you must know. Everybody that's born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, you must know this. First of all, you must know that you're identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that he has done, not what you're doing, what he has done. Knowing this, that the old man, in other words, the old way of life, was crucified with Christ. That's what he did. He took it to Calvary. Praise God.
Amen.
Knowing this, that the old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth you should not serve sin. In other words, you should not serve the sin nature, because sin nature is... It's deplugged, so to speak. Well, anyway, we just can't skate over this in a great deal of haste. What we have to do is that we have to take it a little at a time. So we will continue to speak about this at a later time. But right now, I want to ask Minister Gloria if she would extend the invitation to everybody out there in Radio Land how to come into Christ Jesus, not through a building, but to give your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen. Praise
God. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
All my sins are forgiven only through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I pray to God that everybody that have tuned in the broadcast, that they would believe what the Word of God is saying. Don't take me for an example, but believe what the Word of God says. Receive it and glorify Jesus, because he is the only one that deserves the glory. God bless you all out there in Radio Land, until the next broadcast.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.